Okay, there's a, and I want to share this with you as well. I had to quit talking a little bit about our loss so I could go forward in service. But I do want to say this, as I know that you'll inquire. So many of you went with me to bury my father whenever we buried him, and I will never, ever forget that. Those of you, I remember you getting out of your vehicles as we pulled up on the grounds. Because of the circumstances, and just because of the circumstances, it will probably be a virtual service. So a graveside virtual service. So we'll inform you more about that. Okay. I'm going to, God being my helper, share with you a text. And Brother Michael will understand this. Normally, whenever I share something with you all and it tastes good to me. Let me say, if a preacher can't enjoy his preaching, there's no way I can expect you to enjoy my preaching. There's no way, if you know. But normally, you all receive my first shot at a scripture. Whenever I speak from a passage of scripture, you hear it for the first time. Now, let me say this about gospel preaching and text. There's some food. Chili is far better the second time than it is the first time, right? Beans and rice. Beans that are warmed up after they've been cooked. Beans are better the second day. Amen? Maybe not the rice, but beans are. We know, right? Gospel preaching is a lot like that, right, Brother Mike? Your first effort, well, you kind of figure out where it felt good. And then where it didn't feel good, and you maybe have an idea by God's grace and the power of the Spirit where to go the second time. Preaching leftovers. And so Sherry has gone on, you know, 1,000 preaching trips with me, and she said, you know, that sounded a lot better here than it did at home. Well, I'm figuring it out with the Lord's help. The Lord sent her to help keep me humble, y'all. That's a truth, and you have no idea how many times I felt so brokenhearted for you, and I thought, boy, I wish it went that way at home. So now, this is a scripture that I used last weekend, you know, with the Lord's help, that you're not the first blush on it. You're going to hear it. I'm not saying that it's all that, or, you know, it's incredible. I'm just saying that I'm thankful to be able to share this with you the second time. Turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. This is an idea. This is a thought. This is a principle that's taught in God's word that is very active in the universe today and in our world that means far more to me right now today than it did in January. Now, I shared with you several years ago here when we were preaching from the book of Hebrews that I believe, now this is several years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I told you that I felt like we were coming to a time in our nation when we would need to really focus on the fact that our primary citizenship is in heaven and not on this earth. We're thankful for the United States of America. We're thankful for our nation. God bless America. I know you all are praying for it with everything in you. But I'm telling you today, as I stand here and as I see the chaos, the turmoil, and the little confidence that we can have sometimes in leadership and in kingdoms and in nations and in empires, in legislative bodies, the more and more important my citizenship and the kingdom of God becomes to me on the face of this earth. That's the kingdom that I am most interested in, is the kingdom of God. Because listen, for one reason, because of its perpetuity. The United States of America has come and it will go one day. I hope it's here for my grandchildren. I do. I sincerely hope it's here for my grandchildren. But listen, one day, if the Lord tarries long enough, it's going to go. All the great civilizations have. But the Lord tells Daniel, gives him a vision in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. And he points to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And he looks at all the kingdoms that precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Persian kingdom, the Greeks, the Roman kingdom. And he says, in the days of these kings will the God of heaven set up a kingdom. It's going to, he said, it's going to break in pieces all other kingdoms. It shall not be left to another people, and it shall remain forever. It's never going to go away. So now let me ask you this. Do you want to put your trust? Do you want to put your confidence? Do you want to build your family's life around something that may or may not be here, or something that is not going to go away? The kingdom of God is going to be here. Now, you're experiencing the visible form of that kingdom this morning. You can see that there is the kingdom of God that is visible when the church comes together, and the kingdom of God invisible. And Jesus Christ gives us principles associated with the kingdom. And I want to share some of those principles with you this morning. Let's read from the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Knowing these things will activate these principles in us, stabilize our lives, bring us joy and satisfaction, even when other kingdoms are crumbling around us. If you can see this kingdom for what it is, even when kingdoms are crumbling around us, friends, you can still have peace and satisfaction and joy if you can see this kingdom. All right, verse 30. All these things, Luke 12, verse 30. All these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. That is, the resources of this world, the nations of this earth are seeking resources for themselves. And Jesus said, don't worry, your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. The king of your kingdom is aware. And he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Make that first in your decision-making matrix for your life. Make sure that you seek the kingdom of God first. How are the decisions that I'm making in my life this week, in my life today, how are those decisions going to impact me and my ability to keep first the kingdom of God? What happens if you don't keep first the kingdom of God? Bitterness. I'm telling you, if you're a born-again child of God and you begin to seek other wells in this world for satisfaction first, you're going to come up thirsty. Keep the kingdom first. All right. Then he says this in verse 32, and here we go. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell all that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself, make himself to sit down to meat. Make them to sit down to meat. That's important. He's going to gird himself. The master, the king, in this case, will gird himself, make them, the servants, sit down at the table to meat, and will come forth and serve them. That's backwards, I'm telling you. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken in. Be you ready. Verse 41. Then Peter said to him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even unto all? And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward? Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Who is that? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say, that he will make him ruler over all he hath. But listen. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants and eat and drink and be drunken because he doesn't think the master's coming back. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in sunder into pieces, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That's pretty strong, isn't it? We'll cut him into pieces. So there you have it. There are principles that are associated with this kingdom that I'm telling you is absolutely paramount in your life. The kingdom of God. And why is that? The kingdom of God represents a power. The kingdom of God that is in you. That's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, verse 21. The Pharisees ask him. Now, this is a principle of the kingdom that I'm talking about right now. When you're born again, you receive this kingdom. The Pharisees ask him and said, Lord, when will your kingdom come? And Jesus says to them in Luke 17, 21, he says, the kingdom that I'm talking about and the kingdom that I'm talking about this morning is not like a kingdom of this world. You can go to Washington, D.C. and see where the epicenter of the kingdom of America, the nation of America is on Capitol Hill and the White House. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not going to be that way. My kingdom cometh not with observation. You can't see it with the natural eye. It cometh not with natural, with observation. He said, so don't say, lo, it's here or lo, it's there. He said, for the kingdom of God is in you. So that's a first principle that I want you to recognize. The kingdom of God that God gives to each one of his born-again children is something that is inside of us. And it makes it very powerful. Let me tell you this. This king, and this is why you must pay attention to it and have to keep it first. This kingdom has the ability, and if you follow it like you should, it will readministrate your life. It'll rearrange your life. It will change your life inside out and upside down and backwards and forwards. It is transformative inside of you. Let me say, the kingdom of God is not a social club that we just sign on or some society that we just give our name to and pay dues on a monthly basis. Oh no, my friends. This becomes a vital, living part of who we are and a living principle inside of us. It makes all the difference in the world. I said it changes us inside out. So what do you mean by that? It changes us inside out. In regeneration, when we're born again, when new life is placed inside of us, kingdom life, listen to me very carefully, especially young, well, everybody, you can mentor and counsel young people with this. Young people need to hear this so badly. The kingdom of God, whenever it comes to you, and I said it readministers, it redirects the priorities of your life, changes you inside out. When you're born again, overwhelming love comes to you. When Christ visits you with the kingdom of God in your heart, it's the overwhelming love of God that is coming to you. His kingdom is a kingdom of love. And that can readministrate your life from the inside out. How does it do it? There are many people, it's amazing, I deal with a lot of them. There are many people that are relationship dependent. Now let me say this. You should be, if you're married, you should be focused on your marriage. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Your husband, your wife should be your primary relationship, and then your children. You should be thankful for them. You should be thankful for your mothers and fathers. But especially, I see this especially in young ladies. On a regular basis, visit with them on a regular basis about this. Sometimes I think he loves me, Brother David. Sometimes I believe he loves me. Then he doesn't love me. Sometimes I think he cares. Then he doesn't care. Or sometimes I think that my mother loves me. And then sometimes she doesn't love me. I just can't tell. And it's destabilizing me. And those are very dysfunctional relationships. There are people that will give affection. They manipulate people. There are people in this world that manipulate others by giving affection and removing affection. Well, let me tell you, when Christ visits you with the kingdom of God in your heart and overwhelming love comes into your heart, you're no longer dependent. It's nice to have the love and the affection of others, but if you don't have it, you now have a love in your heart that can never change. And you're not dependent upon external relationships. You're thankful for them. They're good things, but you have the ultimate thing in your life, which is the love of God. In the form of His kingdom in your life. So that if He doesn't love you, if she doesn't love you, if they don't care, if they don't show affection, it doesn't shut your life down anymore. Whereas maybe once it did before you felt the overwhelming love of God in your heart. That's how important, that's how powerful, that's how transformative this kingdom can be. But it has to be first. Everything has to work off of that kingdom. Everything has to work beyond that kingdom, inside out. So, what does the kingdom look like? And we probably won't get to all of it today, and that's okay. Unless y'all aren't doing anything until 1 o'clock this afternoon. No. So, how? The power, the practice, and the provision of this kingdom. The power, the practice, and the provision of this kingdom. Last week we talked a little bit about the power and the provision. But it's real important to me as a pastor of the church that I talk to you about the practice of the kingdom. But first we're going to talk about the kind of power that this kingdom can bring. The kind of power that is residing in you. You may not be aware of it. You may not understand that you have these kind of spiritual resources residing in you. You can be like that couple that the Chicago Times reported over 20 years ago. It was a couple in Chicago who they found died of hypothermia. That is, they froze to death. And whenever they went through their home, the old couple that they found lying huddled together on their couch because the electric bill had not been paid. That sounds horrible that in the United States of America, a land of abundance and plenty, somebody could die, an older couple from hypothermia because they didn't have any heat or electricity to run their electrical unit. Until they opened up the broom closet and they found a bag in there had over $130,000 in it. And the problem was that couple loved their money. They were well known for it. And so they played Russian roulette. They would let their bill go just as long as they possibly could. And then they would pay the electric bill just before it was cut off. But they went too long. You see, there was a couple that, and listen, 20 years ago, that's when $130,000 was still $130,000. They had access to plenty of resources. They just didn't use what they had. And so I want to share with you, I want to demonstrate to you that you have all of the resources inside of you, residing in you. That you have the power of the universe. If the kingdom of God has come to you, you have the power of the universe inside of you and a loving Lord who will administrate it to you to help you overcome the storms on the outside. So it doesn't matter what the storms are, how they're raging on the outside. You can still have peace on the inside and be able to go forward in service to God and carry on your life. I wanted to be able to demonstrate that to you this morning as I came with the loss of my mother yesterday. I wanted to be able to come and demonstrate to you this morning that by the power of the kingdom of God and the love of my Savior in the context of His kingdom, it doesn't matter the storms on the outside. You can still have peace on the inside and go forward in life with the Lord's help. And it's only because of the power of His kingdom. So over in the way we receive this kingdom, so the power, the way we receive this kingdom. Now listen to this very carefully. This may be a different thought for you. The way we receive this kingdom is in something that is called regeneration. I've said that word. I've used that word over and over and over again. For 40 years, I've been talking about regeneration. This just hit me in the face recently. In looking up the word regeneration, it's used twice in the New Testament. It's used in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, 28th verse, and it's used in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And so In Matthew 19:28, Jesus says this, in the regeneration. Now, he talked about the context of Matthew 19. This is very important. The context of Matthew 19 is this, that Christ, when he comes back again, there are inordinate things, there are over-the-top things that he is going to give to his children, those that have followed him. Now, he's not going to give it to them because they have followed him. It's just the fact that they have followed him is evidence that they are his children. I want to make that point because when you go over there and read that, it's going to look like, if you're not careful, it's going to look like he's saying, oh, if you'll follow me, then you're going to get all of these things when I come back in the regeneration. It's not what he's saying. It's those works that are part of the lives of God's. So let me stop and say this. All of the works that God's people perform, they are not meritorious. They're not efficacious. But the works that God's people, there's no sin cleansing in our works. They're not going to purchase eternal reward for us. They're not meritorious. They are testimonial and evidential. They testify to the fact that grace has made me a new creature. They're evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ lives inside of me. I don't work in order to have regeneration. I work because I've been born again and experienced the regenerating work. So Jesus said, listen, those, my children, and you can know who they are because they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me. You can know who they are because they follow me. He said, this is what's going to happen to them. And he talks about it. But he says when it's going to happen, he says, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne of glory. So when is that? When he comes back again. Now, listen. So let me stop and say this. Jesus is sitting in his throne of glory at the right hand of the majesty on high. But it's not completely manifest yet. You understand? We don't see it with our eyes yet. Everything doesn't behold it yet. He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. We don't see all things put beneath his feet yet. We don't see all principalities and powers put beneath his feet yet. But the day is coming. The day is coming in the regeneration. Now, there's a parallel verse to that over in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, whenever it talks about the sudden and imminent second appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says that when the Son of Man shall come in all of his glory and his holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sudden appearing, his glory is going to be magnified. The regeneration. It's an unusual word. You're going to like this. It's an unusual word. It's a Greek word, palingenesia. Palingenesia. In the palingenesia, when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne of glory, then these great things are going to happen in the family of God. In the palingenesia. So that Greek word, it's borrowed by the Holy Spirit who inspires Matthew to use that. In writing down the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit borrows that from its use in the Greek language, and this is what it meant to the Greeks, the palingenesia. Greek philosophy and some Greek philosophy thought it was a very common line of thinking and belief in Greek philosophy that the universe is made and it happens in cycles. Now listen very quickly and very closely. You have to use your thinking cap here. The Greeks taught this about the universe, the existence of the universe, that the universe is made, it's destroyed, and remade. And it's made, destroyed, and remade. Made, destroyed, and remade. That it's cyclical. And what they believe is the universe is made, and history begins, a downward spiral takes place, corruption sets in, and it gets so overwhelming that the universe has to be expunged, it has to be cleansed, and so there's a great fiery conflagration that takes place that destroys, that kind of wipes the chalkboard clean, and then it's remade again by something called prime matter. Then it's remade again, history starts over, the downward spiral happens again, the fiery conflagration, the universe can't stand itself anymore, it's destroyed again, it's remade again, it's destroyed again, remade again, and the cycle goes on and on and on in Greek philosophy. History is one big cycle. Let me say this. History, God's history, which is redemptive history, does not happen in cycles. God's history, redemptive history, is linear. That is, it's happening on a line. Redemptive history, and that's the history that matters. Listen, they're rewriting history just as hard as they can rewrite history in the United States of America. I read a report recently that a professor who was not a believer, a professor of education who was not a believer, that did a review of textbooks that were in place in high schools in the state of New York. And this is what he had to say about what we're teaching American children, history in America. After his review of high school history books, he said if an alien was to land on the face of the earth and read a 10th grade American history book in New York State, they would never know that anything called the Christian church ever existed on the face of the United States of America. That's what I mean by rewriting history. And men can rewrite history out of the textbooks of our nation, but friends, they can't rewrite God's history. They won't rewrite God's history. God's history is going in a line, and it's a line that God has purposed and that He's going to bring to pass and to fruition. And it began with man in the dust, being formed from the dust of the earth. History begins in the dust, and it's going to glory, my friends. That's the history of the world in several words, from dust to glory. And reconstructionists and revisionists can write all they want to, but it's not going to stop the irresistible flow of God's redemptive history. We began in the dust and we corrupted ourselves, but God's got a plan to get us to glory. That's His palingenesia. God is going to expunge the universe. God is going to clean the universe. God is going to do away with the corruption of this universe. That nothing could be further from the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back again, and He is going to level the scales of justice. Everything is going to be set right when He comes back again. You say, well, what about that fiery conflagration? What about the Greeks and all that fire that happens at the end of their world? That's the reason that term was borrowed. Listen to me. This is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming back in fiery glory and fiery joy. He is. Jesus Christ is coming back in intense glory and intense joy. And I know that many of you, your hearts are troubled. Listen to me. I'm telling you what's happening in the kingdoms of this world is not going to change what's happening in the kingdom of God because of the power associated with it. And I know the kingdoms of this world right now are rocking and reeling, but the kingdom of God is going to reach God's goals for it. We're concerned about what men are doing, and it's not the first time that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned about what was taking place in the events of nations round about them. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and they were troubled. The church at Thessalonica was being persecuted. They were becoming martyrs. They were being bloodied. And they were so concerned. Will night last always? I remember Sister Sherry and I just a couple of weeks ago, we got through watching a faith-based movie. And let me tell you, friends, there are plenty of them out there. Help your life. Quit watching the stuff that'll tear you apart and cause tribulation. Watch good things, healthy things, happy things, joyful things. And we got through watching such a sweet matter. I encourage you to watch the series, The Chosen. It's incredible. We were watching one of those episodes, and it was so joyful, so much joy at the end. And I was weeping, and we both stood up. We both stood up, and we started to walk into the kitchen. We didn't hardly know what to do. We were so happy, and Sherry began to weep, tears pouring, and I thought she was full of joy. And what had happened? She had become sorrowful and she was grieving over this world as the joy of the kingdom of God had been portrayed in such a vivid form on our television. It was beating against the trials and the tribulation of this world. And she looked at me and she said, "How long will this night last? How long will these tribulations last until Jesus Christ comes back and makes it all right again?" My friends, He's coming back. And that's the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to set it all right. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He said, "Seeing it's a righteous thing with Him to recompense trouble to them that trouble you, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire." There's the Palingenesia, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction and from the glory of His presence forever. When Jesus Christ comes back again, He's going to make it all right. Night doesn't last always, my friends. The kingdom of God, one glorious day, is going to be put on full display in great power. That now, because of the darkness of this world, that we have to have men. I constantly think of our dear brother who's seated in the back, who have to beat back the forces of darkness. We have to have individuals to beat back the forces of evil and anarchy in our nation and around the globe, terrorist organizations. But when Jesus Christ comes back again, and the Palingenesia, in the sudden and second appearing of the Son of God, all of that's going to be wiped away. Night does not last always in the regeneration. So what's the message of the Word of God? We win. We win. Christ triumphs. Now, there are a lot of people that describe the Palingenesia, that is the sudden appearing of the fiery glory and the fiery joy of the Son of God, like there's going to be this great battle. There's going to be a great conflict, and Jesus Christ and God the Father is going to have to muster all of their strength in order to defeat the forces of Satan at the end. Let me tell you, friends, there's not going to be any conflict. There's not. You want to know what the battle consists of? It's this. They're going to be slain by the word of His power. Here's the battle at the end. When Jesus Christ comes back, this is how difficult it's going to be for Him to subdue His enemies. Whenever John sees Him at the end of church history in the book of Revelation, he said, as Christ is coming back mounted on His white steed, His white charger of omnipotence, John says that out of His mouth, as Christ is going forth conquering and to conquer, said out of His mouth cometh a flaming sword, a sharp two-edged sword, flaming. So that sword is simply the word of His lips. How powerful are the word of His lips? How powerful is the word of His lips? How powerful is that sword that's coming out of His mouth? How powerful is it? Whenever He comes back again, this is what he's simply going to look at Satan and all of his crowd, and He's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire." And you know what they're going to do? They're going to depart. It's going to be that simple. Now, friends, that's power, isn't it? I want you to think about that for just a moment. That's as far as we're going to get, is power. I want you to think about that for just a second, that fiery glory, that fiery joy that's coming back, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That same word, Palingenesia, listen to this. Whenever it's used again in Titus chapter 3, 5, this is just over the top. Over the top. Paul says in Titus 3, 5, that it's according to His mercy that He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You read that in Titus 3, 5. It's not according to our works of righteousness. When you're born again, that's what he's talking about, being born again, the new birth. When God comes to you in the new birth, it's not because of your works of righteousness, but according to His mercy. And it happens, here's the mechanism, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So he uses that same word, when you're born again, to describe the new birth. He says it's regeneration, the palingenesia. So what does that mean? Here's what happens when you're born again. This is incredible. Now, you don't believe in time travel, do you? There is no such thing as time travel. Is there? Let me tell you about spiritual time travel. When you are born again, what Paul is saying, this is what happens. That future glory that is coming, the fullest expression of life in this universe, the fiery glory, the fiery joy of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming, God the Holy Spirit visits that in your heart. He puts that in your heart. You see that? That's power. All the glory, the joy, the fullest expression of life that this universe will ever see, the palingenesia, the recreation, the expunging of the old, the bringing in of the new. And that's what happens when we're born again. The old is expunged, the new is brought in, and it is the kingdom of God. See, that's what's coming. I know that the Word of God in the New Testament, it talked about the kingdom of God as right now, and then there are times that it talked about the kingdom of God as out at the kingdom of God future. You go over to the 21st chapter of the book of Luke and the Last Supper, and Jesus said, I won't drink any more of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in the kingdom of God to come. In other words, whenever he comes back, there's going to be joy and celebration when the kingdom comes in its fullness. But the way that he brings his kingdom into this world now is he brings that future glory, that future joy into your heart right now when you're born again. And that's what's residing in you. That's what's residing in you. And that's why this is so transformational. That's why the kingdom of God will transform, can completely transform your life. I've talked with people who wanted to come into church, and they listen to me, and I'll close with this. I've talked with people who wanted to be a part of the visible kingdom of God. They said, listen, you know, now I don't want to be radical. I don't want to be like some fanatic, Brother David. I'm pretty happy with the way my life is right now. I've had these conversations. I'm pretty happy with the way my life is right now. What they're telling me is, I'd like to put a few coats of paint on the barn door. I'd like to maybe, in the walls of my house, my heart, maybe I'd like to have a little paint put up on the walls of my house. Listen to me. People are so surprised whenever God comes in regeneration, whenever he brings the palingenesia into your heart. God is not interested in putting paint on the old walls of your house, putting a little paint on the outside of the barn. He comes in with a D5 dozer and he tears down your house. God's not interested in fixing up a little sin shack inside of you. God is interested in building mighty walls and ramparts and towers. God is going to build inside of you in regeneration and the new birth. God is going to build a castle inside of you that's fit for a king to dwell in. Not mere, just we'll make a few alterations here. God's going to transform the inside of you. And the power that he does that with is the future kingdom now in your heart. The palingenesia. Listen, you've got resurrection power. You've heard me say it over and over again over the 40 years. You have resurrection power in you right now, coursing through your veins. You've been made alive in Christ. The most precious promise to me in all of God's word. The most precious promise to me in all of God's word is Revelation 21:5. Behold, I make all things new. God doesn't just wait till the morning of the resurrection to make all things new. He begins the work in the hearts of his people by bringing regeneration, renewal, transformation to your heart. And that's what the kingdom of God is whenever it comes to you. That's power. That is power. The power that's going to transform this universe. The power that's going to do away with sin, death, hell, and the grave. That's power. And so, my friends, if you're seated here this morning and you've been thinking, I want to be a part of the visible kingdom of God. Now, listen, I don't encourage you to be a part of the visible kingdom of God until the invisible kingdom of God has been set up in your heart. You understand what I'm saying? Because you won't get it. It won't mean anything. We'll be backwards to you. You'll get outdone with us. You'll be, it just won't work. You're in the wrong kingdom. But whenever he translates you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son in regeneration, I have a lot of people say, I'd love to come into the church of Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Dave, but I'm just not worthy. I can't do it. You're right. You can't, but he can. If the kingdom of God is in you, he's brought the power of the universe into your heart. And I don't ask you to walk. You can't do this. I don't ask you to walk in your own strength and discipleship, but you can in his strength. In his strength, you can conquer though we die. That's what the poet said. That's strange, isn't it? How can we conquer in the kingdom though we die? How can we conquer? Listen, my mother's been sick for over 20 years. She has suffered greatly. She's been on prednisone solid for 20 years. Her respiratory system is shut down. And she conquered yesterday morning because the kingdom of God was in her heart. And that's a kingdom that shall never know any end. And she conquered, though she laid aside her weather-beaten form in this world. If you're born again, you have the power, you have everything that you need to follow Christ. And you can come while we sing an appropriate hymn. Brother Jay, would you come lead us?
Number 527.